It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to another episode of the Giant Take podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Alex. It feels like it's been a super long time since our last episode. It's only been a week, but it's been a whole draft's worth long since our last one. That's what we're doing today, recapping the New York Giants 2024 draft. All of their picks, don't worry, it wasn't that many. We didn't even have a seventh rounder. Before we get into everything, obviously we're going to address the elephant in the room of the Malik Nabers pick, which, of course, we predicted, you know, surprise, surprise, as many did predict the Giants were going to draft, so it wasn't that exciting. But we will talk about it, and like I said, all the other picks and some undrafted free agent signings. Alex, a draft later and a few more days after that, too, as this episode's coming out on Tuesday morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I know it's been a couple of days now since the full draft process concluded in terms of all the UDFAs being announced and the rookie mini camps, whatever that may be. But yeah, a really fun draft. Wasn't able to enjoy it as much as usual as I was studying for finals at the exact same time as watching and enjoying the draft. So that was a little bit unfortunate, but doesn't look like that will happen for me again. So that's a good thing, I guess. But yeah, overall, a really fun, record-breaking draft. Six QBs taken in the first 12 picks, all offensive players for the first 14 picks. A lot of players, going higher than usual, a lot of players going lower than usual, a lot of trades in the mid to later rounds, which is more unusual than we've seen in the past. So a lot of really, really cool things happened, a lot of blue chip prospects in this draft. So it was just a lot of fun to see how it all played out. And I'm generally pretty happy with how it turned out for the Giants. I'll say this, obviously a lot of people are upset. No quarterback, which was kind of something that it seemed like the Giants were really interested in terms of trading up potentially with the Patriots or the Cardinals or whoever it may be. Obviously, three QBs go off the board. J.J. McCarthy was not someone the Giants clearly valued as much as people thought they did. The Giants just went with their best player available, and that was Malik Nabers, and they weren't able to get up to three or four like it seems like they wanted to. The majority of people are saying that is for Drake May. Josh, I'm not sure if you actually saw this, but Adam Schefter, I believe, came out and said that they were trying actually to trade up to three or four to get Joe Alt, funny enough. I don't know if that's true. Obviously, Adam Schefter, a very reliable reporter, everyone else is saying that they don't really know, but it's probably Drake May. He did come out and say he doesn't really know, but he's heard it's Joe Alt. So very interesting. I don't know, Josh, about you, but imagine they traded up to three and you're thinking, wow, it's Drake May, and they just ended up taking Joe Alt. I think that would have broken Giants Twitter and probably cost Joe Shane his job. So that would have been very interesting, but it didn't happen. Malik Nabers is here, and I'm really happy with the pick. I think he's such a dynamic player, and I think he's going to totally transform this offense.
Yeah, well, speaking of Joe Alt, the New York Giants didn't even select an offensive lineman in this year's draft either. Went heavy on the defensive side, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. But firstly, yeah, I really like the Malik Nabers selection. Obviously, last year, over 1,500 yards receiving, 14 touchdowns, a unanimous All-American, and LSU's all-time leader in receiving yards. Well, before that, we remember 10 years ago who it was. I believe it was Odell Beckham Jr. at 1.2. And Malik Nabers is now the all-time leader in receiving yards at LSU. It wasn't, Jamar Chase or Odell Beckham. It's Malik Nabers now.
Justin Jefferson, too.
And obviously the pros with him, the burst and explosiveness is something that you really don't see out of guys, or at least, top wide receivers heading into this draft or any draft at that. It's going to be super exciting to see him at the pro level. The great deep threat as well that Malik Nabers is. The only thing is, how much weight is he going to put on if he puts on any? You know, how is that going to work out against heavy-muscled cornerbacks in this NFL, and especially physical cornerbacks in the NFL? Because here's the thing with Malik Nabers. He always gets those 5 to 10 yards of separation. He even said it in his interview. Quarterback Malik Nabers is going to be open. You know, you want Malik to be open, and that's what he said he's going to bring to this team. But not every quarterback is as bad as they are in college, because, you know, NFL cornerbacks are not going to give you 10 yards of separation that easily. So that is going to be something we'll have to watch out for. But overall, like you, Alex, I'm happy with the pick, and they move from round one to round two. Pick number 47, it was from the Seattle Seahawks Leonard Williams trade. And the Giants use that and get a safety in Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota. He averaged 30-plus solo tackles in the last four seasons. This past season, he had 53 total tackles, four pass deflections, one sack, one forced fumble, five interceptions. The thing about Newbin, Alex, is that he's versatile. He's played all over the secondary, or at least he did play all over the secondary for Minnesota. Obviously, as you can tell from his stat sheet, he does things, and he has the fastest of the game to be able to rush the quarterback alongside, you know, getting those interceptions at the safety position by dropping back and making those crucial tackles. He's impactful on the field. And Newbin actually sported a career-best 90.1% coverage grade, according to PFF, in 2023. And that was first among Power 5 safeties.
Yeah, so, I mean, looking at the second round, obviously it started off just heavy receiver, and then went heavy corner. And then the Giants kind of get stuck in a position now leading up 46. Actually, the Panthers trade up right in front of them for running back Jonathan Brooks, which maybe shows you that they probably were interested in Brooks and maybe would have taken him. But obviously, Panthers trade right in front. And you're looking now, there's not a lot of great corners on the board. There was Ennis Rakestraw Jr., who I thought it was a pretty good idea there. And that's kind of who I was hoping for at the time, because I think corner was a more important position. But Tyler Newbin, I think, was the best player on the board, maybe outside of Adonai Mitchell, who obviously is a receiver. The Giants already took a receiver, probably not the best pick. So Tyler Newbin, I think he made sense. You know, in terms of what I see from him, I think he's a really, really great size and length kind of guy for safety at 6'1". He's a very high football IQ. He can diagnose the run quickly. You know, he can read the ball. He can, you know, he's great ball skills as well in the air. He's a good tackler. So everything from a, you know, non-athletic standpoint, I think he is one of the best safeties that we've seen in a couple years from that particular standpoint. But then you look at his athletic side, and he's just someone who's definitely a very, I wouldn't say poor, but I'd say a below average athlete at the position, especially as these safeties are getting more and more athletic. You know, his footwork, his fluidity, his hips, he doesn't turn as well as some of these safeties, you know, could be, his change of direction, etc. And because of that, sometimes he can miss certain things and just miss a tackle here and there, or not be able to make a play in the air. So there's that kind of stuff that's a little bit concerning. But we said the same thing about Xavier McKinney, and obviously he turned out to be a really, really great player. So I think Tyler Newbin, Minnesota has been bringing in a ton of great safeties, obviously, in the past now. Antoine Winfield Jr., and there's one other safety that I'm blanking on right now from Minnesota. I think I'll think of it in a second, but Antoine Winfield Jr. is the main one that's coming to mind. There's definitely another one, but I'll let Josh move on while I think of it.
Well, you mentioned Xavier McKinney, Alex. Obviously, this is the time in the NFL draft where you have to pick up places that you left off at and pick up places and positions that you lost. The Giants lost safety Xavier McKinney. He went and signed with the Green Bay Packers. Now in the second round, they address that need. They get someone like Tyler Newbin. I know we were talking about a little bit before recording. You weren't extremely thrilled with the position value at that point, because obviously there are more safeties and there are other positions that the Giants could have addressed at the time, and there were higher needs, especially offensive line, that they could have drafted. But at the skill value at pick number 47, and you just mentioned it yourself, Newbin looked like the best player on the board available, and I'm not upset about the pick, nor are you at the end of the day, and that is who the Giants end up selecting. Before I move on to round three, do you have that safety?
Yeah, I'm looking for it right. I have it right now. Jordan Howden, I know, is a good player. Eric Murray is one other guy I'm thinking of. Benjamin St. Juice. So yeah, there's a couple. I don't think that's who I was thinking of, but yeah, there's definitely a few players. There's one name that I'm like really thinking of, and I cannot think of it right now. But yeah, there's definitely been a lot of historically good Minnesota safeties. So it'll be interesting to see if Newbin can kind of stay in that mold. And it's interesting that a school like Minnesota really doesn't have a lot of players drafted, just keeps producing all these great safeties. Whoever their safety coach is probably deserves an NFL job if they don't have one already.
In round three, pick number 70, the Giants selected a cornerback now. So again, working on that secondary, working on that defense. The quarterback, Drew Phillips, is out of Kentucky. I think I said most of that part already. His career best 23 defensive stops led all of the ACC cornerbacks in 2023. The Giants were able to stack him up in round three. 48 tackles last season and five pass deflections for Phillips. Obviously, again, you're drafting the positions of need. The Giants lost Adoree Jackson in the offseason. They gained Drew Phillips. Now it's a player that's going to be immediately starting in the rotation at cornerback. I believe ESPN has him as the third player in the Giants depth chart. Whoa. So we're going to have to see what he brings on the field. But definitely something, like I said, a position of need, a position the Giants needed to address. We have Malik Nabers on our team on the opposite end, on the opposing teams we're going to play. They're going to have one, two, if not three, pretty good wide receivers. And when you're a guy that's behind Cordell Flon, Deontay Banks, and Phillips, I think it's a good addition for the team.
Yeah, it was certainly, you know, you're looking at the third round here. A lot of players obviously are off the board. Trey Benson was one. You're looking at running back, obviously an important one that was just taken right before. I think probably guard was something that a lot of people were really wanting for the Giants. Christian Haynes was still available at the time. Zach Zinter. There's one other player that was pretty available at the time. I forget his name or who I was talking about. Dominic Pooney out of Kansas, who was also a very good player at the time. So a lot of people wanted guard. The Giants decided to pass on all of those guys and go for Drew Phillips. And I think he's a very solid player, a very good pick. Slightly confusing with the scheme that Shane Bowen has been running, though. Someone who maybe is a little bit better in zone coverage than he is at man coverage. He's very aware in terms of coverages in zone, and he could feed, you know, he drops in coverage well in zone. He could read the underneath coverage. So he's very good in that aspect. But because of his, I'd say, around average speed, is, you know, a below average change of direction, he's not the best man corner. And that's something that I think Shane Bowen's trying to do more of here and really focus on getting those pass rushers to the quarterback. So from that point of view, it's a little bit more interesting. Say we were still in a Patrick Graham defense, I think Drew Phillips is a much better fit. But I still think, obviously, you can't draft players solely off of the defensive coordinator scheme. And I think Phillips has good potential to play on the outside. I think he'll probably start in the slot, just based off what I've heard. And, you know, I think his you know, eye for the ball, his ability to play zone, you know, his tackling is a little bit poor, which is concerning. But, of course, you kind of hope that you can coach that up. And Drew Phillips, I think he's a solid player, not someone I really heard much about pre-draft. But, you know, after doing more research, I think it was a pretty solid pick, you know, given that, you know, a lot of the good players were off the board at other positions of need. And yes, offensive line could have been valuable, but they did emphasize that a lot in free agency.
Alex, we're going to move to the player in the fourth round that we both believe was the best pick for the New York Giants at that spot. But first, we got to take a break. But like I said, when we get back, we're going to talk about this guy, which we believe was a very underrated pick, if not the best pick for the Giants in this 2024 NFL draft. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. Not going to waste any time. It was round four, pick 107, that the Giants decided to select a tight end, Theo Johnson, out of Penn State. So now you're thinking tight end. We just signed Darren Waller last year. What's going on? The Giants, according to Jordan Ronan and other sources, are going along with the thought that Darren Waller has already retired. We went into this draft thinking that as well. You know, Alex and I talked about it. We drafted a tight end. I believe it was Johnson in one of our mock drafts, or another tight end at that spot. But the Giants need to address the position. I'm struggling here. It's all right.
It's getting late, Josh.
On a Monday night. I had two finals today. Whatever. It don't matter.
No excuses.
Do not matter. We're talking Giants draft picks. We're talking Theo Johnson. The Giants had to address the tight end position because here's the thing. Alex, like, I don't want to like try and say this lightly. The Giants are screwed if Darren Waller isn't playing. I know he's injury prone, but for how much we signed him, to then say that Daniel Bellinger and Theo Johnson are your one and two tight ends is a little bit scary. For Johnson, though, obviously he's good blocking, which is something that we don't see in a lot of tight ends that are trying to be drafted now. because the passing game is so important in the modern NFL that all teams are looking for are passing ready tight ends out of the draft, not so much more blocking heavy. That's something that Theo Johnson is pretty good at. But because of that, the whole fear with Theo Johnson is that he doesn't have enough experience at the tight end position catching the ball. Over the past two seasons, yes, he has amassed 669 receiving yards, 11 touchdowns this past year, 34 catches, 341 yards, and 7 TDs. And another thing here that the Giants have had trouble with, Evan Engram, with players and tight ends specifically dropping the ball, Johnson generated a Big Ten best 146.6 passer rating when targeted, which obviously shows the guy does not drop the ball when he is thrown, when the ball is thrown to him. So, I would say I like the pick of Johnson. We both like the pick. We both think that it honestly, at the value that it was at, he's the best pick for the Giants. It's a position of need, as I just explained, if Darren Waller does end up retiring, as the Giants are assuming with the pick. The only thing is that he needs to just have experience, and that is by playing in games as a pass catcher, because that's something he needs to definitely develop. He did not have enough time doing that at Penn State, and that's why he went all the way this late in round four.
Yeah, I think this was the only other pick besides Neighbors where I was like, he's the best player on the board at the time that the Giants were picking. That's who I wanted it to be picked. I think, you look at his athletic ability. He's 6'6", he's 259. He runs a 4.57 40. That's a wide receiver, a reasonably slow wide receiver time, but a blistering fast tight end time. He's got great hands, like you said. He's got good explosion off the line of scrimmage. He can gain a step on, linebackers that are quick. He's also a pretty good blocker. Something that he even mentioned actually in his press conference was that he wants to even improve at that even more, being that more George Kittle mold, which I think is very interesting because some of people have actually kind of compared him to George Kittle when he came out of college. And he's got a really good frame for blocking as well, good leverage use. So overall, I think there's a lot of potential on that end. And then as a receiver, he already has a pretty high floor. So I really like the pick. And I think, without Darren Waller, you look Theo Johnson and Daniel Bellinger. I think that gives you not an elite 1-2 punch at the tight end position, but I think it gives you two guys that are going to be consistent and are going to be there for Daniel Jones. And I think Theo Johnson has the potential to be a much higher level tight end than maybe
they're
we expect
them to be.
They're
both pretty good, solid blocking tight ends as well.
Like, yeah, no. Both are two-way tight ends in terms of they can block and they can catch the ball. So that's always helpful.
Now, how much is blocking going to be important this year? Because with Devin Singletary behind, as your number one running back, we're going to talk about another running back in a minute, but with Devin Singletary in the backfield, who's actually more known as a pass-catching running back out of the backfield, I don't know how much we're going to really need them to block, because I'm sure we're going to have a lot of passing sets this season. At least that's my guess. I can't imagine the Giants do run-heavy offense like they did with Saquon Barkley in previous years. But it is good to know that if necessary, if we do have two tight end sets out there with both of those guys and they need to block, they can do that, and they're pretty solid at doing that. So yeah. Is there any other thoughts before we move to round five?
No, I think you pretty much covered everything. I really like the pick, and I know a lot of Giants fans are really happy with it as well, and I think he's going to be a really good player for us.
So this next pick, round five, pick number 166, was through the Brian Burns trade. Tyrone Tracy Jr., the running back out of Purdue. So right off the bat, I'm going to say it. He is a six-year player. He is 24 years old. This is the age thing that people were talking more about with quarterback Michael Penix Jr., but very similar in age-wise. I think also Michael Penix is 24, so he's been in college for a long time. But he's very fast and very athletic, which I'm sure Alex is going to touch on. Recorded a 4.48 second 40-yard dash and also a 40-inch vertical jump. Tracy has only one season at running back. Obviously, that's why he spent 6 years in college. He forced 46 mixed tackles on just 114 carries in that 2023 season. So obviously super shifty, super athletic of a running back. And it'll be definitely something that the Giants, or a player the Giants will use, especially in kicking and punt returns. Gunnar Olszewski, what's going on? Are we going to see it? Who's going to return our kicks, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what's going on there, but I will say this. I think that Tracy, he really has, that two-dimensional side that he can play special teams. I think he'll slide in right away as the kick returner. Punt returner, we'll have to wait and see.
Which is, by the way, the kick returner much more valuable this season with
especially
the new rules in the NFL.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how that works, and then drafting a guy specifically for that role I think was pretty smart. I think I see him as a smaller, less powerful Cordarrelle Patterson in terms of his role on the football field, where he's a big special teams contributor but can also be an X factor in the running game, in the passing game. And I think Tracy, you know, really good burst, really good balance as well, change of direction, body control, and his kick returning abilities and the vision in the kick returning game. But that doesn't really translate for him at the running back spot when he is in the backfield. He's a little bit indecisive. He tries to bounce out when he could just get a couple of those tough yards like Saquon Barkley used to do for us. And we kind of complained, I guess, in the beginning of Saquon Barkley's career that he was trying to do that too much. And then at the end of his career with the Giants, at least, he really started getting those couple of tough yards at the end when he knew he couldn't get that big play. So it'll be interesting to see how they coach him up as a running back because he's so raw at that position. But in terms of a pure talent, pure athlete, pure football player, I think this is a really good pick, and I'm really excited to see what he can do. Definitely on the older side, like you mentioned, though, Josh, at 24, but really no risk when you're sitting there at the very end of the fifth round.
Yeah, you're looking for best pick available, and that's what the Giants selected in round six, pick 183, the final pick for the New York Giants in this 2024 NFL draft, was Darius Mwasa, I believe is how you pronounce his name, linebacker out of UCLA. A well-rounded linebacker at that, the most well-rounded linebacker you're going to get in a round six pick. Mwasa racked up 137 run stops since 2019 between his time at Hawaii, and then he ended up transferring to UCLA. Had 107 total pressures in that time, so definitely a versatile player, someone who could be used for the Giants as a depth piece. And I mean, again, you're looking for best player available. It's something that I wish the Giants kind of looked at earlier, because you're going to have Isaiah Simmons as that edge rusher position, and then backing up Bobby Okereke alongside Micah McFadden. Obviously, those are your starters. If one of those guys gets injured or goes down, Isaiah Simmons or Mwasa is going to be a player that does slot in. So again, it's not a depth piece that the Giants really, really needed. It's something I'm glad they addressed. I don't know how much he's going to play, though. I'm sure Alex could have more on him, so I'll send it to Alex for a breakdown.
Personally, I'm going to be honest with you, Josh, and I was thinking this when they made the pick. I don't hate it. I don't like this pick at all, just based on who was on the board at the time. And also just
you want an offensive lineman?
I mean, I looked at the board right now. I mean, I'm looking right. Christian Mahogany was sitting there. I think he was a much better lineman than a sixth-round lineman. He was sitting there. I thought Christian Boyd, the defensive tackle out of Northern Iowa, was a good player. Joe Milton, QB, not necessarily a great prospect, but a lot of upside there.
Well, obviously the Giants don't want a quarterback. So, like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like we have to get our minds off of that because they didn't sign an undrafted free agent quarterback. They're obviously confident about what they're rolling out. Well, maybe they weren't because they were going to trade up and get Drake May. But with that being said, it seemed like once Drake May and those rumors went away, or I guess the Giants not being able to trade up to get Drake May, all those quarterback thoughts ran out of the window. I think here's the thing. I think Joe Shane and Brian Daboll or whoever it was talked about it, and I guess they agreed that if Drake May wasn't on the board, they're not going to do anything at that position. They're confident that Daniel Jones is there, and if Daniel Jones either gets injured or does not perform, they have confidence in Drew Lock backing him up, which I do as well. I do believe in Drew Lock just in case if necessary. I think he's a good backup to have on a cheaper deal. And I understand your point about getting someone like Joe Milton.
Yeah.
I just don't think it was really that, like, upsetting.
No.
Christian Mahogany is a different story. I understand that. Because here's the thing, the Giants, sure, they signed one UDFA or a couple offensive linemen UDFAs, but not drafting a offensive lineman in this entire draft, I think, was a mistake.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you're trying to, especially the defensive line and the offensive line, I think there was a couple of good options. Christian Boyd, like I mentioned, out of Northern Iowa, I thought was a really good player. Mahogany's a good player. Jarrett Kingston, even out of USC, was a pretty good player. He went later. In the sixth round, Daquan Hardy, corner out of Penn State. So there's a few guys there that I actually really like. So when they ended up taking, when they ended up selecting Mwasa, I was a little bit frustrated. And then I kind of looked at his profile, and it's just, you know, I'm not a full 40-yard dash, you know, is the only thing that I go by type of person, but a 4.7 40 is just not very good for a linebacker. He's a little bit undersized as well. I think the main positive for him, though, is that he does have really good instincts, which you do see when he plays. You know, he's got pretty good tackling discipline as well. He can even pass rush a little bit. So he's got that high motor, high effort kind of play for, you know, for his positive. But his athletic testing, he only had a 5.6 RAS score, which is very bad. And then he also has shorter arms, which does, you know, help, does hurt him in some tackling stuff as well. The speed, obviously, is the main thing. So wasn't a huge fan of this pick. Of course, every time I say I'm not a fan of a pick, usually that's one of the better picks. So who knows? It's probably a good blessing for him. But I, just based on some of the other people on the board, his just profile as a player, I wasn't a super big fan. And I thought they could have just used that last pick a little bit better. But, you know, overall, day three, I thought was a really good day with Theo Johnson and Tyrone Tracy. I thought there was those were both excellent picks. So, you know, I couldn't be too mad that in the sixth round they picked someone who I wasn't a big fan of.
All right, Alex, that's the 2024 NFL draft for the New York Giants. I'll run through it once again real quick. Now, round one, pick six, Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU. Round two, pick 47, Tyler Newbin, safety out of Minnesota. Round three, pick 70, Drew Phillips, or Andrew Phillips, if you want to go full name formal, cornerback out of Kentucky. Round four, pick 107, tight end Theo Johnson out of Penn State. Round five, pick 166, Tyrone Tracy, running back, Purdue. And then round six, pick 183, Darius Muasa, linebacker, UCLA. Okay, there was one undrafted free agent or two undrafted free agents I know you wanted to talk about. Do you want me to run through just all of them real quick?
Yeah.
And then you can talk about the two you want? Okay.
Sounds good.
John Giles, wide receiver, West Florida. Jake Kubas, offensive tackle, North Dakota State. Marcellus Johnson, offensive tackle, Missouri. Alex Johnson, defensive back, UCLA. Ayer Asante, wide receiver, Wyoming. Casey Rogers, defensive tackle, Oregon. Ovi Ogofo, linebacker, LSU. And do I even... The Giants signed a kicker from Rutgers. Jude McTominay is just going to be a body at training camp. We're not... We don't need another kicker. We have Graham Gano. Anyway.
Yeah, with Johnson out of the tackle out of Missouri, you know, he was someone that they actually gave, I think, $170,000 guaranteed money, which obviously means he was someone who was very popular in the UDFA pool. You know, solid pass blocker, it seems, really struggles in zone run schemes, which is something that I think the Giants do run a decent amount, so we'll be interested to see how he does there. So that's one guy I wanted to point out. And then the other guy I want to talk about was Casey Rogers, the defensive tackle out of Oregon, sixth-year senior, you know, not super athletic, but someone who, you know, who has definitely got that energy and that effort kind of, I guess, side of him, you know, when he's rushing the passer that gets him those sacks, gets him those tackles behind the line of scrimmage, really high motor player. But he doesn't really, you know, have the best technique pass rushing wise. He just uses his power a lot to kind of beat, you know, weaker interior defensive or offensive linemen. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, those high effort guys always do very well in training camp, I seem to think. So I think he's going to be a fan favorite as we get towards that period. But yeah, those are just the couple of guys I wanted to talk about, the more notable names of the guys who got some more guaranteed money than others. But I'll just say this overall for the draft now, you know, kind of looking at it, I'd say day one with Malik Nabers, that was kind of a slam dunk pick. You couldn't really go wrong. I know, I think all of us Giants fans feel a little bit disappointed just because there was that hope of a QB, the next phase of this Giants team. And we really thought, you know, especially towards the last couple of days, that might have been possible. And then, of course, this guy who we were all super delighted and were wishing to have all before that, you know, ends up with us. And we're kind of like, oh, you know, that's okay, I guess now, but he's no Drake May kind of thing. But still, you have to look at it from a positive standpoint. He's an excellent player and one of the best players the Giants have drafted in a long, long time. Day two, not my favorite day from them, but I think two players who can definitely be solid contributors right away. And then day three, I think, was a really good day. And Joe Shane found a couple of very, very good players who I think can be impactful on day one as well. And if you look at it, I think the first five picks in this year's draft can be instant impact players. Which is something that I think is very positive. You know, from one standpoint, it shows that he had a good draft, and the other, it shows that our team is not very good, depending on how you want to look at it. So it's definitely interesting from that standpoint, but very happy with the draft overall. And I think You know, we have some good pieces here to build off of, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where we're really building a nice young core, and hopefully that just keeps improving as time goes on.
I don't want to repeat everything Alex just said, but what I will say is I also agree on the Malik Nabers selection at number six. I didn't want J.D. McCarthy whatsoever on this Giants team, regardless if it was at six or if we traded back and gotten him. We'll see how he pans out. I think the selection of a wide receiver here is good. I know some people were complaining that they want an offensive tackle, or the Giants were just going for, you know, a weapon on offense or a flashy player by selecting Malik Nabers. He was the best player on the board. He was a top five prospect in this draft. The Giants were lucky to get at six, in my opinion. Some could even debate top three. So great job by them. I really like Newbin in the second round alongside, you know, addressing both in the second and third round of getting those secondary positions done for or done with. I don't know what you want to say there. I don't know if that was the plan for the Giants going in, saying like, hey, let's just address the secondary right here, right now, and get it done in day two. Or I don't know if like they got Newbin, they were happy to get him, and then they didn't know until Phillips came up. I don't know if we'll ever find out the answer to that, but I'm glad that they addressed the secondary kind of in the same day. I think it was cool, kind of tied a knot on things. And then we already talked about this, how good we like Theo Johnson's pick. If he can develop as a pass catcher with already his blocking in run and passing schemes, he's going to be a very versatile weapon for the New York Giants that can either work alongside the three pair of Darren Waller, Daniel Bellinger, and him, or if Darren Waller does end up retiring, him and Daniel Bellinger, whatever it is. And then, again, I don't really care for or not care or care for the pick of Darius Muasa. It's fine to me. And then Tracy, I just hope he's good, because the guy is a six-year player, already 24 years old, and has only had one true season at running back. So definitely a very hit-or-miss pick with that one. But anyway, that does it for our New York Giants 2024 draft recap. If you enjoyed this draft recap, hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to our podcast, Spotify or Pandora, wherever it is. We're on most of them. Our social media platforms are as follows: at the Giant Take Pod on TikTok, until ByteDance either sells it or it gets banned in the U.S. I really hope not.
Better not.
We'll pop it on there. So you better follow us on it. At the Giant Take Pod, Twitter, Instagram, yeah, all of those. It'll be in the description as well. Alex on Twitter at Anorian23. I'm on Twitter at JoshSolo29. If you want to see my Nixon 5 tweet that's going to go out when they win tomorrow night, that'll be wonderful. Follow me up on there. F Joel Embiid. And that's about it. When it comes to that stuff. So there you go.
I'm not usually rooting for the Knicks, but whenever it's against the Philly team, man, New York's got to come together. I hate Philly, so I am also somehow rooting for the Knicks tomorrow night. But yeah, I think they've somehow got the series under wraps at this point, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Oh, I have one more thing. I know that for everyone listening right now, I know after the draft time, everyone thinks it's a dry period and like we don't do anything for months. That is not the case. We'll still be here. We'll be still, you know, doing stuff like we do every single offseason. So don't tune out. The Giant Take will be here still weekly, if not multiple episodes a week, especially now because in a week from now, I'll be out of school just like Alex is. So we're going to have way more time to produce way more content for you. So don't go anywhere. That's what I'll say before you wrap this up.
Yeah, it's always ironic, right? The super busy periods for the Giants are our busiest periods at school. And then, you know, the quiet periods are our quietest periods. So anyway, it is what it is. We can't change how life works. But yeah, thank you everyone for listening to today's episode. Hope everyone really enjoyed their draft weekend. I know I certainly did. I know Josh did as well. And, you know, it won't be too far away. And the season's right around the corner. Preseason training camp, which is all really exciting. OTA's even closer. So make sure to stay tuned. Thank you again. And we'll see everyone next time. Peace.